In your bulletins this morning, there's an insert that talks about a congregational meeting next Sunday afterward. They just want your approval to use your money. They want to do some building and some projects, and they need your approval for that. So please, if you're a member, stick around for that and speak your piece on that, I guess. Kitchen supplies. And, the good thing about outreach here at our church, we do plenty of it. First Fridays, we do plenty of outreach. If you hadn't heard, we lost Dave Peel a while back, and then this week, Mary Peel, his wife, was diagnosed with cancer. That's Katie's mom and dad. The forecast for Mary is good, but we still need prayers. And in this insert on June 9th is a work day at Mary's house. Various things that she's needing to be freshened up, cleaned up. It's in this insert, but that would be an awesome outreach for us. If First Fridays and some of these other things we do isn't a big deal with you, this might be a good fit. If you're anywhere handy, Mary's recently lost her husband and now diagnosed with cancer herself. So just show up. If you're just a chatty Kathy and you just like to talk, just show up and get in our way, and we will. It still looks good. It still looks like a lot of people showed up to help. So come. If this whole room showed up, that would be just fine. So remember that June 9th for Mary there as well. So let me read our scripture where we've been, and then I'll kind of show you where I'm going and what I want to think about today, and we'll take communion in a little while. John chapter 15, that's where we've been. His last teaching time, hours before he would walk into that garden, be betrayed, arrested, and the nightmare of that night begins. John chapter 15, I want to begin reading at verse 9, kind of freshen you up on last week and then dive into this week. John chapter 15, verse 9. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Stay, remain, dwell, live it out. Live in my love. Stay in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Now I'm going to pause right there for a minute. So we've been talking about this last week. God so loved the world. God loves the world. God loves everybody. God is love. But now we're told to stay in his love, to abide, dwell, live, remain in his love. So God loves everybody, true enough. God loves the world, true enough, but now we need to stay there. We have an option to walk away from God's love, to walk out of it, or to stay. Does he still love the world? He does. But we can live in his love. Stay there is what he's saying, by keeping his commandments and having our joy full, having his joy in us and our joy overflowing. So that's where we were last week. We talked about this agape love. Casey filled you in on the loves a couple weeks ago. Agape love is God's love. It's That word agape, you won't find it in classic Greek literature anywhere. It's a religious word. It's a word that is found in the ancient religious writings. It's a totally God word. Agape love, that's His love. And last week we talked about that sometimes we don't recognize God's love when God is moving and working. We looked at the scriptures here and we saw sometimes I don't even recognize what's going on. Certainly they wouldn't this night as and this next day as Jesus was hanging on a cross. They wouldn't recognize God so loves the world by this day. And we don't either. God works and moves in our life, and sometimes it's painful and excruciating. Sometimes it's just bubbling over with fun and happiness. But agape love, when God moves, we don't always recognize it. We certainly can't define it well. We always put pieces on it. Oh, it's sacrificial, it's eternal, it's unconditional. We put pieces on it, but it's an eternal God thing, and I don't think we can adequately, completely even define this agape love, but it is what we're to do, and it is what we're to seek and to latch on to. We don't always feel God's love, and that is the intuition of God's love. Sometimes I don't recognize it. I certainly can't really fully define it, and I sometimes don't feel it. Intuitively, I don't feel His love, but it's there. And so Jesus' cross, Jesus' night here, this arrest, this betrayal, this beating, all fits into that. God so loved the world, this event took place. You and I have similar events in our life, things we experience, and sometimes it's just hard to recognize, define, or feel, but I'm here to tell you, God loves you with agape love. Unconditionally, if that's what you like, sacrificially, absolutely, Jesus died on the cross for you. God loves you. You need to know that. You're not earning it. You're not earning it. He loves you. What we are doing is we are staying in it, under it. That's what He tells us. He is there for us. Stay with Him. Abide with Him. Hang in there. Trust Him. He loves you. So today we turn the corner. Let me read on a few verses. John 15:12. Interesting take on it from Jesus here. This is my commandment, that you love one another as or like I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. So, last week it was God loves us, and you can bank on that. We just need to stay in His love. He loves the whole world. We just need to stay in it, His love. Now, this week, Jesus commands us to love one another. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's a command for us, this room, to love one another. If you're here and you're in the faith, you're commanded by Jesus to agape love one another. He says the pinnacle of that, the highest point of that love, is that someone lays down his life for his friends. And you are his friends if you are in the Word, walking in the Word, keeping His commandments. You are his friends. Now, there's a great cop-out by some people who say, I keep his Word, I walk in him, because I love. I love people. And I'm okay with that. I get it. That's the command. Love one another. But notice in verse 10, he said, if you keep my commandments, kind of plural, there's a whole lot of them. And then he said, this is my command, that you love one another. He's taught them a lot of things. In verse 17, he says, these things, lots of things I command you, so that you will love one another. So you can't love your way. You love His way. Love comes Jesus' way. He's commanded things, commandments, so that we love His way. So that person that likes to cop out and go, man, I ain't worried about all them commandments, I just love people. Well, you don't. Because you got to love His way. He knows what love is. Agape love comes from Him. It's His love. And He's going to tell us how to do it by the things He commands us to do. And quite honestly, sometimes when we're loving each other, we don't recognize it. And we don't feel it. Sometimes we do. But sometimes we come together for each other, lay down our life for each other, and we love each other His way, not my way. I don't know how to love. It's been my prayer for years and years and years and years and years. Lord, teach me to love. So I'm not good at it. And the more I learn His way, I know I'm not good at it. So you're a nice person. You're a friendly person. You're a polite person. That's not what he's talking about. His love says the pinnacle of this is to lay down your life, and I'm going to give you a whole lot of commandments to fill in. You might not be able to define it, but let me just give you a whole lot of little pieces for you to work on to achieve it. You don't need to define it. Just do what I'm telling you to do. This is my love. So, here's an interesting thought for you as you look at this scripture. Turn back one page to John chapter 13. This night began for him in that upper room. Jesus made reservations in this upper room. He sent some of his disciples on ahead into the town. He said, I need to have a meal. Go to this guy. When you see him doing this, say, hey, my master needs the room. He reserved the room. They set it up. They prepared it. When he got there, things were happening. The food was cooking. Everything was going prepared. It was reserved. It was a beautiful place, upper room, upper hall. And so there they had this meal, this supper. And you know that during this night, this was the night when he broke the bread and shared the wine. And he said, this is the bread of my body and this is the cup of my blood. You know that happened. But in the middle of this, somewhere in the middle of the meal, it says, all of a sudden, Jesus gets up and he wraps a towel around him and he begins to wash their feet, right? And so he's teaching and he's washing feet and they're eating and he's breaking bread. And it's just this amazing Jesus-like scene that is happening here. In verse 34, John chapter 13, verse 34, he's getting into the flow of this, and he says this, which may sound a little strange to you. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. So, just like I've loved you, You love one another. It's a new commandment. Well, I didn't think that was a new commandment. Did you? I mean, I can go back to Moses' law and find this. I didn't think this was a new command at all. I thought we were always supposed to love each other. Doesn't everybody know that and realize that? You turn to Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. Matthew chapter 22, verse 34 This is back. Jesus is out walking around doing his thing, getting in trouble like he normally did. And the Sadducees have come to him and they've tested him, trying to trap him with some questions. He answered those questions. And so the Pharisees send him someone to test him. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, wouldn't you know, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. These two commandments are pegs, and all the law and the prophets are hanging on them. And so he quotes this very same thing, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's right out of the Old Testament. That's right out of Moses' law. So where does he get, I have a new commandment for you, love one another? Where's that coming from? What's he talking about? I have a new commandment for you. When these Pharisees, when this lawyer asked Jesus that question, this was a no-brainer. They were thinking Jesus was going to give them some off-the-wall answer. Because this in from Deuteronomy 6, the great Shema, this is a no-brainer. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That was a given. There was no question. They were waiting for something really weird like, love me, I'm the man, I'm the guy. You know, they were thinking he was coming from another planet or something here, because this wasn't even a question. This is a Sunday school question for a Jew of that day. And he quotes it. Now here's what's very cool. And my thought for you today is that we have a new love. We have a new love. This is a new commandment. And you and I, there's a new love on the block. There's a new love in the house. There's a new love for you and I that is amazing. It's God's new love. And the first thing is, this new love brings you and I a new future. It brings you and I a new future. You have a future. You have a new future ahead of you if you can grab this new love. Interesting thing, when Jesus quotes this Old Testament right here, I don't know if you can even see it, but he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's in a future tense. But why in the world wouldn't he say, do it now? Why does he quote that? And when it happened back in the Old Testament in Moses' day, when Moses first gave this, it was future tense. You shall, you will, going forward here. This is future tense. Well, it happened in the Old Testament because they had been saved out of their slavery in Egypt. Egypt is a metaphor. It's a picture of sin, of our old life. They were saved out of it. They were brought into the desert and they were tested a little bit and they failed. But they received these commandments and he said, you've been brought out of your old life in Egypt. And you're going to a new life, in a new land, in a new country. And when you get there, you are free. But when you get there, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And you know why he says that? So you don't end up back in bondage. So I don't have to step in and you end up back in slavery. You know what he said in New Testament terms? Abide in my love. Stay in my love. So I don't have to come back in and you get all hung up again, all chained up again. And what did they do? They went into that new country and they got back into their old ways. They changed for a while and they went back to their old ways. And God said, I have a country called Babylon. I'm going to bring them, and you're going back into chains. God's plan for you and I, he has a new love for you and I. It's an amazing love. It's a beautiful, redemptive love. It never leaves you, even though sometimes you don't feel it. But this love carries a future with it. And it says, I have saved you. I am here. I so love the world. I've saved you. I've brought you out, redeemed you from your chains, from your old life. And I don't want you to get rechained. I don't want you to get all bound up again. Abide in my love. Stay in this new love of mine. I don't want you going back. He said, you'll never go back to Egypt, but I have a country called Babylon, and they're going to come and get you, and it's not going to be fun. You have a future. I don't want you going back. Here's the newness of it. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. This is how it's new. This is how it's new. 1 John chapter 2, verse 7. And this is the same John that wrote the book of John that we've been in for the last couple months. He's the same John of John 15 that we're reading. This is just many years later. John now has a circle of churches that he oversees. He's their pastor. He's their father. And John writes letters frequently to them, and they've come to us. This is what it says. Beloved. Beloved. Agape loved is what that says. I'm writing no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. And that's what we said. Love each other. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love each other like I've loved you. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's an old commandment. That's what he says. I'm writing to you this commandment. It's really an old commandment. You've heard it. Verse 8. At the same time, it's a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness of your life, the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he's in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light. Do you hear that word? Abides in the light and in him. There's no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So here's the new love, the new commandment, and your new future. This is an old commandment, but it's new in Jesus Christ. It's an old commandment. Everybody knows. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. That's an old commandment, but it becomes new in Jesus Christ. When you accept Jesus Christ, when you've come to Jesus Christ and you said, I believe in you, Jesus Christ, this commandment becomes new and he puts new flavors in it. The greatest end of it is that you lay down your life like he did for your friends. The new flavor is you keep my commands and you stay, you abide in my love. It goes from a black and white picture to a color picture in Jesus Christ. It's become all new now. As it used to be, you loved your neighbor as yourself. It used to be you love neighbor like the best you can, like however you need to love your neighbor, you do it. Now, it's no, you love your neighbor like I love him. You love like I love. And we have commands to show us how to do that. It's an all new love in Jesus. He says this is true in him and in you because you've accepted him. Now let me show you how to flesh out this all new love like Jesus. Like Jesus. So you and I have a new love. And we have a new future. You stay in my love. You abide in my love. You walk with me. You shall. You shall. You shall. You shall. And Jesus even quoted it in future tense. Because those Pharisees, they needed a new future and this new love. They didn't know how to love. They were loving their way, with their flesh, how they thought love was. But he said, no, here's a new commandment. This is a new commandment in me I'm giving you. You love like I love. And with that comes a new future. You have a future. You have a bright future, an amazing future. God has a land prepared for you in this life and in the next. Your life has hope. Your life has change. Whatever you're chained to, He'll unchain you. His love is never going anywhere. You don't go anywhere. You stay in His love by living in His commandments. He loves you. He loves you. And He has a future for you in His love. Old song. This will date me. Some of you won't even know this group. It's a group called Nazareth. It's all the wild childs in the room. Know that. Hair of the dog. Love hurts. Love hurts. Love hurts. If that's your story, if it's the hair of the dog, and love hurts, and you watch yourself now with you love, you guard your love now. Oh, you're going to love people all right, but you're much smarter now, and you're going to love them on your terms, your way. Love really can't be trusted, because it'll hurt you. Love hurts. If that's your love, I want to invite you into a new love. I want to invite you into Jesus' love. I want to invite you to a whole new ball game. It's a whole new way of doing it. He shows us with His commands how to do it. New love, new future. New love and a new family. And a new family. Turn back in your Bible to 1 John. Walk you through a few verses here real quick. Most all of them in 1 John. This is critical for us. New love, new family. 1 John. Chapter 3. Verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given us. Hey, see what kind of love your Father's given you? That you are called children of God, and so we are. The reason the world doesn't know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, agape loved ones, we are children of God. We are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when He appears, we will be like Him because we will see Him as He is. Everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. You're children of God. Hey, do you see what kind of love He calls us? Do you see what He keeps saying? Agape loved ones. Agape loved ones. Loved ones, can you see it? You are now called children of God. This is a family. This is the toddler room. This is the romper room. We are children of God right here in this room. Every one of us that is in Christ, we have agape love. He loves you. He's calling you His children. And everybody who has that hope, anybody who signs up, Jesus, I want that. We're purifying ourselves. We're getting better. We're not perfect. We're still bruised. We're still bleeding. We've still got some issues. We still got some hang-ups. We still got some stuff, but we are purifying ourselves. We're flawed but mendable. We have a new family, and we're a healing family. Chapter 5, 1 John 5, verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. Everyone who's been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? We're children of God. We love the Father by keeping His commandments, and we love all our brothers and sisters who have been born again by this God. We're not perfect, we're mendable. We're flawed, but mendable. We're purifying, and here we're overcoming. I told you, you have a future. We're overcoming. Do you know what Greek word this is? I've told you before. It's the word Nike. You got tennis shoes on your feet. You're an overcomer. You're a victor. You have a crown. We're overcomers. We're Nike Christians. You have a new family, a new love, a new future, because you're being purified. You're being changed. You're overcoming. You're getting victories over things. If, stay in the commandments. Stay in the love of your Father. Abide in His love. Stay in His love. Don't do it your way. Don't wander off into the desert. Stay in His love. Come on. Man, do you have a future. Man, do you have a family. It tells us the problem here. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Here's the wandering. Here's the wandering. He says, stay in me. Stay. Abide. Man, I love you. Man, I love you. Man, I have a future. I have victories for you. What is it in your life you want to beat? You want to overcome? Just keeps grabbing you. What is it? You're going to be prone to wander. Here he is. 1 John chapter 2, 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, those desires, those passions of the flesh, those desires, those passions that you see of the eyes, the desires, this pride of life, I want to be somebody, that's not from the Father, it's from the world. And the world, here's key, the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God, what's that next word? Abides forever. Abides forever. You stay forever. You know why we are so addicted and chained and we run into so many problems? Because we follow the world. We fall in love with the world's passions and desires. And we look at them and go, man, that looks so good. And he says, it's passing away. Those things are fading. You chase that beautiful thing in the world you want today. It looks fun, good, beautiful, happy. You go get it. You're going to need more of it tomorrow. Because it's fading. It's passing. What is it you want? Sex? Alcohol? What is it? Money? Cars? Homes? Status in the community? What is it that you want? It's passing. You're going to need to re-up the ante. You may get it this year. You could be broke next year. Elkhart's made and broke more millionaires than any city per capita in the United States. You can be rich today and broke tomorrow. You better chase it again and again and again and again. If alcohol or drugs or sex is your thing, guess what? You had a good night. You're going to need another one tomorrow night and the next night or the next night. It's passing away. It says that. But those who stay, if you will commit, if you will abide, you stay in the Word, you follow that one who promised to love you till the end, you will abide in His love eternally. Your cup of joy is going to fill up and stay full. according to Jesus' words in John 15. I want you to have my joy, and I want you to be filled with it. Go ahead. Test it. You don't believe me? Test it. Go right out those doors tonight, and you go have a ball. And you see where you're at tomorrow night. You see where you're at next month. I'm standing here as a pastor. I'm telling you already. When I was Caleb's age, and is it Tony? Jose. When I was their age, I was indestructible, man. I was Superman. You couldn't stop me. I was not going to be as stupid as all these other people were, and I was going to overcome. I was going to beat the odds. I was going to show them. I was going to master everything in life twice. Amazing person I was. Incredibly amazing person I was. Didn't work, did it? Did I have some fun times? Absolutely. Did it last? No, it did not. Where do I stand today? With Christ. Is it better than I've ever stood in my life? Ever? Absolutely. I wouldn't trade it in. I played baseball in Florida, man. I had a scholarship to go play baseball. Free time. Go play baseball in Florida. Standing there waiting on a spring training game. I had to wait for the Pirates and the Reds to get off the field before we could go on and have our game. Amazing opportunities. Scouts everywhere, every game. Blew it. Too much fun, man. Way too much fun in Florida for a 19, 20-year-old kid. Superman, excuse me. I had some amazing things. Amazing sex. And let's just be honest with you. All I needed. I had all I needed. Where do I stand today? With Christ. With Christ. Happily, my joy cup is full. I will not go back. I will not go back. I will not go back. I will stay in the love of Christ. He has a future for you. He has a family for you. Right here. Flawed but mendable. Flawed but mendable. Your pastor, hey, number one. Okay? Victorious, overcoming. How is it? Tell me this. Answer me this question, if you can answer me this question. How come there are so many mega superstars on this planet? Basketball, football players, actors, actresses. How's come there's so many that have everything in the world and we're burying them? They're on their fifth marriage. They're addicted to this. They're showing up on some stupid tabloid on this. How's come? Why? Why? If that's the answer, if that love, if that joy, if that passion is the answer, why? Why do we read about these rap stars? Why do we read about these movie stars? Why do they make an entire industry on smearing their stuff on the magazines if that is the answer? It's not the answer. Jesus Christ and His future and His family is the answer. Don't settle for a season. Don't settle for a season of love and joy when you can have a lifetime, an eternity of it. New love, new future. New love, new family. New love, new forgiveness. John chapter 13 takes us back to where we started. John chapter 13. His night began with a meal. It's the way I like to start a night. Good meal. John chapter 13. He washes their feet. Having this great evening, he's teaching, talking, loving, horsing around, laughing, joking. Breaks the bread, shares the cup, the new covenant. They don't know what the heck he's talking about. Gets up, goes to wash their feet. And he says, what I'm doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. So he knows there. He's looking at, there's deer in the headlights here. He knows that. Peter said to him, "You'll never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I don't wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said, "Lord, don't, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Just kind of throw me in the water. Hold my head under for a while." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but he's completely clean, and you are clean." Not every one of you, because he knew Judas was going to betray him. So what is the point? This foot washing was a picture of something that was going to happen, that was happening. What is that a picture of? In this, what was he showing him? Would it be forgiveness? Forgiveness. You've been cleansed. You've been washed completely, and now all you need washed are your feet. So he said, Peter said, "Well, throw me in the water." And he said, "You don't need that. You just need forgiven daily, where you've walked daily. Your feet are dirty daily." That's this whole picture of foot washing. I've never been to a foot washing service in a church, but I really hope that if there's a church that does that, that the whole point of it is forgiveness. It's not foot washing. It's forgiveness. You've been washed completely. You don't need washed again. You just need your feet washed because you stepped in it today. You were down by the chicken coop and you stepped in it today. You need washed. Just your feet. That's this point. That's what he's saying. And he says, "Do you understand what I'm talking about?" No, you don't. I can see I'm looking at you and you're kind of like this going, "No, you don't." It's forgiveness. This is crazy. This is crazy right here. He is forgiving them. He is washing their feet and saying, "This has to happen for you to be a part of me." Luke chapter 22 has this off the wall passage. Luke chapter 22. I wonder if this isn't sometimes me and you, really. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Now, I'm going to read it to you, and then I'm going to tell you what it really says, all right? I'm going to help you with it, because you don't see it. Simon, Simon, that's Peter. It's the same night, different author. Luke's writing. He's telling the same story. Same time, they're having dinner. Same thing, he's eating, they're breaking the bread. He's washed their feet, he's doing this. Same thing, same time. This is what he says. "Simon, Simon, Peter, Peter, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." Peter said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. I am the man." And Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster won't crow this day until you deny me three times." Okay? Familiar with that. Now let me show you what he said in verse 31. "Simon, Simon, behold..." Now let me... Oh, hold on. I got to change this. I got to say... "You, come up here." So, we're going to recreate the scene. We're in the upper room. Casey's Peter. Cassie? Casey? Cassie. She don't even know. She's so confused. I've confused her. You're Cassie. You're Cassie. Let's just call you Cassie from here on out. Cassie, the upper room, the disciples, okay? Here it is. This is what he says. "Peter, Peter, behold, Satan demanded to have all of you." Satan has demanded to have all of you, to sift all of you like wheat. All of you. It's plural. You don't see it. It's you, plural, to sift you, plural. This night, Satan is demanding I give you guys to him. "But I have prayed for you, Peter, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." See it? Peter said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. And Jesus said, no, tonight you're going to deny me three times. That's the scene. Thank you. You see what just happened there? Satan has demanded I turn you over to him. But Peter, you're going to lead him back out. You're going to bring him back out. I've prayed for you, Peter. And when you turn around, you're going to lead him back out. I'll never leave you, Jesus. Tonight you will deny me three times, but I prayed for you, and when you turn around, lead them back out. I forgive you. And I'm asking myself, did Jesus wash his feet and forgive him before it happened? Jesus knew what was going to happen. Did he wash his feet and say, Peter, if I don't, you don't have anything to do in this. I know what you're going to do in a few hours. I forgive you. I forgive you. And when you turn around, I'm going to use you to lead my family back on top. That's what happened. There's a new forgiveness. It's a new love. He knows. What I'm going to do tonight. He knows what I'm going to do tomorrow. And he says, I know what you're doing. And I've prayed for you. And I just have to wonder, because this congregation, this family right here, because we are so on the move with it, our prayers on Wednesday night are just like going, cha-ching, 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 got that. It's crazy. I'm wondering if Satan's not saying, give them to me. Jesus said, no. I've got a few in there they're going to stumble, but I've picked them. When you turn back around, lead them back, get them back on top. They're going to stumble a little bit. They're not perfect yet. This is a new love. This is a new forgiveness. He knows where you're going tonight. He knows where you're going in a few hours. And it's your choice to abide in him or not. Go back to the chains. That's not his future for you. It's a new forgiveness. And by the way, just because he knows what you're going to do tonight, it doesn't mean he won't meet you on the beach like he did Peter. Hey, fellas, throw your nets on the other side of the boat. Who is that? That's the Lord. Peter was down to his underwear fishing. He throws his clothes on. He jumps in the water and he flows. And he says, standing on the beach with the fire cooking, he says, Peter, do you love me? Agape love. No, Peter. Do you love me? Agape love. Peter, do you even love me like a brother? Do you even love me like a brother? Peter said, you know I do. You know who I am. It doesn't mean he won't meet you on the beach if you sin. It doesn't mean he's turned his eye out. It doesn't mean he said, yeah, the boys will be boys. That doesn't mean that. It means he's already got forgiveness. He's already got a plan for you. And you can take it behind the woodshed, or you can just abide in the love. He'll meet you on the beach. He'll go face to face with you. We will clarify this. Do you love me? Are you mine? Are you mine? Satan wants you so bad. And I've prayed. And when you get your butt back in gear, you are going to lead my sheep. You are going to lead them out of this. Me? I've gone too far. done things you don't know about last night. I've done things last night I don't want to tell you about. Nope, you're the one. New love, new future, new family, new forgiveness. Forgiveness like you never imagined. And now, well, let me read it to you. If you know these things, when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you?" See, he keeps asking them that because he knows they don't. "You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet," here it is. You guys got to wash each other's feet. You got to forgive each other the same way. New love, new future, new family, new forgiveness. Right here. Right here. You got to forgive each other like I forgive you. I know ahead of time who you are. Shoot, I know you're lame. Shoot, I know you're lame. I know you're going to mess up. Guess what? I love you anyway. I told Devon yesterday, we had a good long phone conversation. I said, you know what this family has to do? We have to commit to each other no matter what. No matter what you do, no matter what I do, I have to commit myself to love, forgive you. You're part of my family. You are my family. That's the only way we get through this life, we achieve this future, is that this family loves each other and forgives each other. Jesus said that. Hey, Jesus, your mother and your brothers are outside. They want to see you. What are you talking about? This is my family. He loved his family, but he understood what a family like this can mean and should mean. We are the difference. I prayed earlier this country of ours is crumbling at the foundation. If you can't see it, you are blind. The cares and the pleasures of this country are killing us. Three, 4 weeks ago, I asked you to pray for Jeremy's church in Seymour because a 19-year-old athlete in college killed himself. Nobody still found out exactly why, but he did. He took his own life. He was beautiful, strong, looked like Caleb or one of these guys. I mean, he was just like, This was amazing, amazing young 19-year-old person. Nice family, nothing apparently going on. For some reason, he offed himself. So Terry and I were down there on Mother's Day, and we went to the service, and Terry got flowers, and she gave them to the mother of that 19-year-old boy who killed himself. And one of the other flowers went to, you know, how they do it. Like, the oldest mother here, if you can raise your hand. And the newest mother here, you're the newest. So they gave them to this little girl, 20 years old, who'd had almost a one-year-old baby. She got the newest mother. And we got this text yesterday from him. Heading to meet with a family about another suicide, early 20s, young daughter, pray. Holy crap, your church family? Yes, that's terrible. Y'all have seen her. She won the youngest baby flowers in the second service on Mother's Day. Why? Two in a month. Welcome to the pastorate. 20 years old. She has the internet, for crying out loud. Isn't there every answer in the world on the internet? Don't you have it all on the internet? Can't you? Surely you can find some kind of, you don't have to off yourself. Two. There she was, got the flowers 3 weeks later. Because this world is grabbing for every joy that is passing away that they can find, and the internet is not a help to that. There's good things on the internet. It's not the answer. And they're killing themselves. Suicide rate is increasing. In this day of enlightenment and bright and beautiful and shiny everything, this new knowledge we have, this new life, this new morality, this new everything we have now in the planet, why are they killing themselves? Why are they so unhappy? Why are they so empty? You and I have the answer. It's passing away. They can't quite grab it. They grab it for a day and a night, and then a 20-year-old has a baby, and in a year she will kill herself because the joy has passed. And you and I have the joy. We have the answer. We have a future, and I'm here to tell you, before you ever think anything like that, there's a future for you. There's a God who loves you, and there's a family here who will bind together and commit to one another, forgiving one another and loving one another, and we will be the answer. Your life is mendable. Your life is curable. Your life is redeemable. It can happen. And you have people to walk with you through it. You have forgiveness. And that deepest, heaviest ache in your soul is washed away. And we'll show you how that's done, because we're going to forgive each other. I think we have some servers, so we're going to take communion now. If you need to go home to your roast, go on. Just go on, because I'm just going to keep talking. If you've got an appointment, you just go on. This isn't important. You just go on. If it is, you stay. If you want to think about this, you stay, and we're going to talk some more about Jesus and this forgiveness and this future. Because for me, this is everything. For me, this is everything. But I'm not going to condemn you if you leave. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you won't sin. But if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the satisfaction, the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. By this we know that we have come to know Him. By this we know we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. Whoever says, "I know Him," but does not keep His commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word in him truly, listen to this, truly the love of God is perfected in us. By this we know we're in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk or live in the same way in which he walked. If you abide in him, you're going to live like him. That's what abiding is. It's stay, remain, dwell in His love. Walk, live like Him. If you don't, you're a liar. If you don't, the truth's not in you. But if you do sin, there is a satisfaction for that sin, and it is Jesus. And you can be forgiven by this, by His broken body. You're forgiven. Dear Lord, when I look around this room and there's no deer in the headlights here, Lord, we see, we read, we get the picture, we know. Now we just need to come face to face with who we are in our sin. We just need to see how important and deep and real this is. So Lord, I pray as we take this bread that represents your broken body, it's the satisfaction for my sins, your body. May you speak deep into our heart your love. How deeply you love us to forgive us, to call us children, to give us a future. In Jesus' name, amen. You've been Superman and you haven't lived long enough to really fall on your face yet, you will. You're going to need this. I don't have a problem telling you I'm a sinner. I don't have a problem at all. I'm a horrible sinner. We prayed for the service this morning before the service started. There was three of us, three grown men, mature men, amazing men, just amazing beyond belief. One of those men, as he prayed, began to cry, thanking God for his forgiveness and his love. That person knows the sacrifice that happened for him. Bring your sin to the cross. Bring it to Jesus. It'll change everything. Everything about you, everything, give you a future and a hope. See? This is a message we have heard from him, and we proclaim it to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we're lying. We don't practice the truth. And if we walk in the light, if we live in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all of our sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, truth isn't in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. It's right for him to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we haven't sinned, we just make him a liar and his word's not in us. Because of this blood, a confession, a heartfelt confession of our sin will wash it all away. Completely new, brand new, secures that future and that family. All because of this blood. Now, listen to me. If you are struggling with something, you have a chain, you have a ball and chain, you have some issue, a relationship, alcohol, drugs, sex, whatever it is, you have something and you can't, that chain, you can break it. He didn't save you to keep it. He saved you to break that chain, to change your life, to give you a future, to forgive you daily. He changed you. He saved you. He's going to forgive you daily. Every day, he's going to forgive you. And keep that future on track. And he's going to use you. When Satan demands your family, when Satan demands your circle of friends, and that day is going to come, you may stumble, but you won't fall. And you're going to be the one he's going to pick back up and lead your family, your team, your church back out of it. It's an amazing, amazing thing Jesus Christ has given us in the forgiveness of our sins through his blood. Lord, thank you. Lord, I'm not eloquent enough to describe the beauty of what we're about to do. But I pray your Spirit will imprint it on our heart. You are good. Lord, you are good. Forgive us. Mend us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Nobody leaves today without hope. Nobody leaves today without hope. I don't know how bad it is, but nobody leaves today without hope, without a future, without a family. Nobody leaves today unforgiven. Nobody leaves today without hope of mending and of healing. Nobody leaves today without hope of breaking a chain that has you, an addiction or Nobody leaves today. You have it. Right here. Abide in His love. Stay in His love. Stay with it. It's all the power and all of creation right there. Let's pray. Lord, it'll take us an eternity to really grasp what You've done for us. I pray now as the kids come and sing for us. I just pray You'll massage this into our hearts. Somehow through the voices of kids and of children, You speak and teach us. In Jesus' name. Thank you. Please be seated. Come on in, man. We got a choir coming to close you today.
Actually, this is for all of us. Would you please stand and grab your maracas?
We're going to go out of here on a high note.
Yes.
Love came down, and it's our greatest hope.
Ready? I will sing forever of Your love come down. With my hands to heaven, shout Your praises loud. I was lost in darkness when You pulled me out. I will sing forever of Your love come down. I will sing forever of Your love come down. With my hands to heaven, shout Your praises loud. I was lost in darkness when You pulled me out. I will sing forever of Your love come down.
That's a little slower than we practice. I like that. Here we go.
I once was blind, I could not see. Chains of sin had shackled me. But God in heaven heard my plea. Jesus, Jesus, rescue me. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, rescue me. I will sing forever of Your love come down. With my hands to heaven, shout Your praises loud. I was lost in darkness when You pulled me out. I will sing forever of Your love come down. Oh, 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 oh.
We're gonna go just a little bit faster.
Now grace so sweet it floods my soul. And hope eternal won't let go. My dead erased at Calvary. Jesus, Jesus, rescue me. My Jesus, Jesus, rescue me. I will sing forever of Your love come down. With my hands to heaven, shout Your praises loud. I was lost in darkness.
Take it up a gear. Here we go.
Well, there's a home beyond the sky. A song we'll sing for all of time. The grave is empty. I am free. Jesus, Jesus, rescue me. Sweet Jesus, Jesus, rescue me. I will sing forever of Your love come. Shout Your praises. I was lost in darkness with you pulled me out. I will sing forever of your love come down. I will sing forever of your love come down. With my hands to heaven, shout your praises loud. I was lost in darkness when you pulled me out. I will sing forever of your love come down. I will sing forever.
Thank you. That was beautiful. You awake? These guys are sleeping. I've been preaching for an hour.
Hey, I've been awake.
Yeah, you did. You did pretty good.
Hey,
I was lost in darkness. Hold on. I was lost in darkness, and he pulled me out. You're not lost anymore. You're not without love, and you're not without hope, and you're not without forgiveness. You haven't gone too far. There is nothing you've done.
Amen.
And we're there. We are committed to helping you find the way back to the light. Hang in there. Hang in there. Matt, pray for us, man.
Heavenly Father, what a privilege to call upon your name. Thank you for the prayers that have been lifted up this morning. All of them are just sweet fragrance, dear Lord. We just thank you in advance for answering our prayers, Lord, and just pray that we would continue to call upon you to lead, guide, and direct us, not just in our lives, but in others' lives, and that we would be an influence to others in a godly, positive way. Thank you for our children, dear Lord. Bless them. Bless the parents and grandparents. Bless our church, Lord. Each and every person that's here, pray that we would take what we have learned today, and most of all, what we have felt from your presence today, and take it out these doors with us, Lord. Thank you for the beautiful weather. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said,
amen. Amen.
I
got to
praise my kids made it home.
Yay.
All right.
Yay.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, oh, it's down the sunshine.
Oh, yeah.